I just heard you play, and I wanted to. It's pretty strange that we keep running into each other.
Maybe it means something.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so. You could just write your own roles, you know, write something that's as interesting as you are.
What are you gonna do?
I have my own club.
Is that gonna happen every time?
I think so.
Oh shit, record's playing. Hey everybody. Oh, sorry. I was wrapped up in that one note there of La La Land, and funny enough, that's our review for today. La La Land, the film that has been sweeping this year in critical praise. And I'm assuming, you know, after watching this film, and I saw it and I said, actually, after seeing it twice by this point now, because they sent me a screener for home, and I saw it at the screener in the theaters. And I gotta say, yeah, I think this movie's gonna sweep Oscars. Am I saying it's my favorite movie of the year? No, not by a long shot. But it just had all the right elements, and I said, oh yeah, the Academy and critics, I see why they're jizzing their pants all over for this film right now. It just has love letter written all over the motherfucker. And you know the Academy and Hollywood, they love that term, love letter. Oh yeah, oh La La Land, you sneaky bitch, you. But anyway, let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis of this La La Land. So we open up with a dance number, singing number as well, too. Funny enough, people, talk about this movie real quick. It's not really that much music in here. Now granted, but by that, my means ain't saying that. It's not like a lot of musical mums where it's jumping out on you and going, I dream of a white woman running by. It's nothing like that or anything like that, you know. It's sort of like the first act of the movie, then rest of the second half of the movie. It really is nobody just jumping out and singing out of nowhere. So it kind of threw me off a little bit, but in a kind of a good way. The first opening number here, I'm not going to lie, I fucking didn't like. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, here we go. colorful ass fucking clothes and shit, and people just jumping out of their cars on the fucking 110 freeway, and just like, yeah, I recognize that freeway. It's LA. I know which freeway that was. I can tell by that big dip that they had or going on. I was like, oh, fuck me sideways. I was like, yeah, here we go. All right, well, and they did this whole, and I do admire the shot of this, because it's all done in one shot and how it just looped around on one side of the freeway to the other side freeway. But the song itself, I thought, sucked. And the dance number, I didn't really give a shit about. It was just people dancing over fucking cars and whatever. I was like, get your asses back in the fucking cars, please. Just please. But we open up with Mia, played by Emma Stone, and she works at she's a barista on set on a Warner Brothers studio lot, so that should tell you something right there. I bet that tells you who made this film now. actually, did Warner Bros. Make this? I don't remember. I don't think they did, to be honest. I don't even think they distributed it, to be honest. But either way. And she gets flicked off by, she flicks him off, actually, by Sebastian, who plays Ryan Gosling. Mia, she's a barista who wants to be an actress. So she goes into casting calls on a daily basis, probably an hourly basis, if you will, and she gets thrown the fuck out every time. Ryan Gosling's character, he's a hopeful romantic with jazz music, not with the women or anything like that, but with jazz music. His passion exuberates everything that you love about a certain subject or object in your life, and he is just all over it. They actually meet on a number of occasions, and then finally when they meet at this party, where she requests that he plays Iran. And I ran so far away. I know that I said that there's not a lot of music in here or whatever. There's a lot of music in here, just not a lot of musical numbers that were there. People just randomly singing out of nowhere. But there's a lot of good music in here, too. Except for the first one. I just did not like that, so I was like, oh, shit. That really kind of just like put a sour taste in my mouth. I was like, get ready for people just buying a loaf of bread and just singing about, this bread is on sale for today. I was just like, yeah, I don't, you didn't hear that shit. So, but going on with their characters more so, they end up kind of hooking up in a way and falling in love with each other, if you will, only to come into gripes where both of their careers, let's just say, isn't going the way, or not, well, not careers so much, their dreams, if you will. Their dreams are not coming together the way they thought they would. He didn't get to open up his jazz club. Instead, he, yeah, I don't want to say sold out in a way. He sold out and worked with John Legend and his band, where they kind of played electronic jazz music, which, oh, God. I ain't gonna lie, the song number they did with John Legend, though, it was pretty damn good. I was like, eh, it's not that bad. I mean, I was into it. I mean, it ain't jazz, but, you know, hey, with each his own. They were paying him like $1,000 a week and plus T-shirt sales and stuff like that. He gets compensation on that as well, too. So basically, he was being able to provide. He had a steady job, and he was being able to provide for his new woman and his house and stuff like that. And she, instead of just getting a role, she decided to do Ryan Gosling's idea and just write her own screenplay and host her own play. How the fuck did she do that? I have no idea, to be honest. They don't show you that. I know she probably took a big-ass loan out on that damn theater she rented, but it looked like that didn't really work out that well. Only for them to have get into a huge argument afterwards and split apart, and only for her to become successful. And well, actually, both of them becoming successful in their dreams and doing what they want to do and going their separate ways. And the movie is basically about it's a story, really, about how love has sacrifices. And I gotta tell you, I liked this movie when I first saw it in theaters. I really did. I don't know if I was too crazy. Now, I don't love it like everyone else is or are doing right now, or like thinking that it should just sweep the Oscars or anything like that. I really don't think it should at all, to be honest. I know that the Emma Stone notions, I can say this right now, Ryan Gosling was way better than her. She's kind of playing the same character she always does here and stuff, but kudos to her for learning to sing certain notes and also the dance numbers that she had to do. And they're really small, but you can tell that these two are not made for singing and dancing, so therefore the director, he did a great job of just keeping it minimal here. And there's a number, I forgot the name of the song here, that Ryan Gosling does where he's whistling at first, and he's on the Santa Monica Pier, I believe, where he starts to do like a really quiet, really intimate song number here, but it's really short and it's kept that way because you can tell in here, Ryan Gosling probably ain't the best singer. I think that Emma Stone sing better than him, but I think he danced better than Emma Stone. I started to notice those track beats that were going on, and they don't really do a lot of it that's going on here. The director here, he did Whiplash. He directed it last year. Was it last year or the year before? I forgot. Whatever it was, I still think Whiplash is probably his best movie. This movie is good. Not to say that it isn't. I really enjoyed the hell out of the film. Like I said, I saw it 2 times. The first time I saw it, I liked it, and I didn't think that it definitely doesn't need to sweep all the damn awards, whatever. I'm just like, yeah, there's some good, especially there's some way, the way it's shot, I think it's really good. But definitely, there's some heavy contenders this year where I'm like, if this movie sweeps the fucking awards, I'm gonna be pretty fucking pissed off, I gotta say. Watching it the second time, though, I think I really appreciate the ending. Because I did at first, I appreciated the ending a lot more because I thought it was gonna go in that cliche way where everything just gets all happy and kind of in a way. But I do really like the story, the message that it was told in here. Ryan Gosling, you know, everybody's talking about Emma Stone and stuff, and I think he's getting the overshadow here and stuff. But, man, I thought he really held this movie together. He's like that grounding force in the film where you just kind of look at him and go, like, everything he does in this film is just fantastic. I really enjoyed him. And he has, like, such small little subtle comedy bits in here, too, where he might do something, say something, whatever, where the audience would just be laughing and clapping. I don't really think he was the star of the film itself. Emma Stone, she's great as Mia. I mean, you know, to be honest, she's kind of doing the same bright-eyed, smiley, dopey-eyed, you know, type of girl that she always is. But I think, without a doubt, this is probably her best performance for the work she's put into the film, as far as when it comes to the, you know, actual singing and dancing parts and stuff. Who else is in this film? You got J.K. Rowling. He's in there for a little bit. Rosemary DeWitt there in there for a little bit. Nobody else in the film really seems to matter, other than John Legend, even though he doesn't really have a big scene or whatever. But he does have an interesting dialogue exchange with Ryan Gosling's character where he tells him, you know, how are you going to be a revolutionary of jazz when you're still living in the past and not moving forward with jazz? You know, jazz is all about evolving. And I thought that was a really good conversation because John Legend actually made a point there. And I was like, yeah, he kind of got you there, Ryan. I mean, what are you going to do? And then he played that crappy-ass music he was listening to. I was like, oh, man, never mind. And go back to the original jazz. But another thing, I talked about how I liked the way this film was shot. This film has some really good cinematography. The color patterns here, especially for the backdrops of L.A., those are my favorite backdrops of L.A., especially when you kind of blend that Miami Vice-style color into it, which is like kind of an orange, reddish, purple, pink color or whatever and stuff. I think that really looks good. I think I brought up two posters recently, Rules Don't Apply and a horror film, a little indie horror film that just came out that had like this purple, pink background poster and stuff like that. I really enjoy those color patterns, especially because it reminds you obviously of a sunlight and stuff like sunset, and it looks damn good, I gotta say. The musical numbers in here. You know, this is one of those movies that the first act is a lot of musicals and stuff. I think my favorite one, other than the song I just played at the beginning of this, where which is kind of like the main theme, though. That's kind of like the main theme of the whole movie itself. I can't remember if they actually did that song like all the way through with the whole upbeat tempo. Actually, they did at the end. But not really a dance number and stuff like that. So I guess my favorite one, though, would be the Emma Stone one, which she does with her roommates. And they're all, like, dancing and getting dressed and stuff like that. I thought that was the best one. That was my favorite one, at least, before they got to the ending with the drum. This was a movie that, like, really, when it opened up, when it got to that part and to the other parts, whatever, I really liked it. But I think the longer it went on, I start to fall in love with it. And no, I'm not, like, you know, as crazy about it as, like, all the other critics are and stuff like that. Because you know how I feel about love letters and shit like that. I was like, oh, my God, please just stop it with the love letters or the homages or whatever the fuck you want to call it and stuff. But there's a lot of fucking nods in this film. Especially when they're on that Warner Brothers set. To old Hollywood and shit. When I saw that scene, I was just like, and this is one of the reasons why critics are eating this shit up right about now. it was all kind of shit just on there, and I was just like, yeah, it looked like they just walked on the set of what's that movie that came out this year? Hail Caesar or something like that. You know, I was like, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of old Hollywood tropes that people are just like creaming over right now. Just going, ooh, there's that. It's like, this is like the Marvels. This is like the MCU for fucking critics and shit like that. You know, they're looking at Easter eggs in this film like, ooh, do you remember when they were dancing on the rain with this guy and stuff like that? I mean, so yeah, even the fucking red balloon and shit. I was like, oh, okay, all right. All right, we can stop with the whole mod shit. But I gotta say, this is probably the first love letter that I actually really did enjoy in the film. I was trying to think of some problems I had. I said in the first opening act, I didn't like that first number there. I'd been getting out of that fucking cars and saying that. But other than that, that really was, I guess, one other issue I had with the film too is, I don't know how long this took, but it seemed like their relationship. And it's funny because I love the second half of their relationship, but the first half of their relationship where she was willing to leave her man, which I didn't even know, I don't think the audience even knew she had a fucking man, to be honest, where she was willing to leave her man for this, I think that part of them really falling for each other kind of got sped up a little bit, but I do appreciate them kind of spending more time together, and when they were together, as it was a couple and stuff, so you got the feel for both of them. I will say there were scenes of, like, after, you know, they got together, there was a montage sequence of them just going out and fucking dates and shit like that. And I was like, okay. All right. I don't fucking need to see you guys just all happy and chipper and shit like this, whatever. And then there was even a sequence, too, which I love the dance number, by the way, as well. But when they went to the observatory and he kind of floated her off in the air and then they started dancing on the stars and shit like that, I was like, okay, Jesus Christ, this is cheesy as fuck right about now. Like I said, I enjoyed the dance number that went with it, but I was like, the sequence at the ending I thought was a little bit better, where they're kind of looking into each other's eyes, if you will, or future, if you will, had they stayed together, and they're kind of dancing on the, and you can see their reflection through the water and stuff. I thought that one was done more clever than him floating her up in the observatory and shit, and them dancing on the stars. I was like, okay, that's a little ridiculous if you ask me. And I think it was scenes like this, because it goes on for so long, it kind of feels like the movie has no consequences, really. You just like, for a little bit, I was sitting there going like, okay, what's going to be the conflict here? Because I didn't come to watch no movie about two happy motherfuckers dancing and singing all goddamn day. And as long as the movie goes on, though, I got to say, even for my little black heart, there's a certain charm in this film that just makes you smile and just goes with it. And you can tell that these people are just having fun. And for some reason, it just puts you in the mood to just... And I was trying to fight. I was like, no, no. But I started smiling, and I was just like, these two are adorable. The only person I felt bad for was Andrew Garfield. I could just see him in the background watching the movie going like, girl, you two chemistry is just too good for me. What's going on right now? Are you fucking that Ryan Gosling? Andrew, why are you still talking like that? I'm in character, girl. Deep character. That man's trying to steal my Oscar, so I need to watch him. One more. But anyway, but no, the longer the movie goes on, you just get caught up in the charm of it and everything. You walk out smiling. I'm not gonna lie. You just like, I like that. I like the way, even when the so-called consequence kicks in, which I do believe that it is a problem, you know, two people trying to aspire to their dreams and careers or whatever. It does lead to argument and stuff like that. But the way it kind of just broke off, it felt so, how do I put it? It felt so unclean. It just felt like, okay, well, they argued and now they're not together or anything like that. It's not like they made it official or anything like that. They just kind of went their separate ways. And you kind of just didn't, there's a lot left in the air hanging. It's like, okay, is this still a thing? What's going on here? And then next, you know, we fast forward 10 months later after she had this really big audition and she became, sure enough, it was shot in France, I believe, and stuff like that. And sure enough, she became the biggest actress in the city and stuff like that. And next, you know, we see him opening up his own jazz club. And I thought this was... The third act definitely was my favorite part of the film. I actually love this ending. And I was just sitting there cringing, too, going, please don't do this the way I think you're going to fucking end this film. Like, you know, she's already... She goes home. She's married. She's got a daughter, and they go to they go out one night and they go to a jazz club, and they see that this one jazz club is open, and she sees the title of the club name, what she gave Ryan Gosling. She goes to sit there, and he plays that song I just played for you guys. At the beginning, da da da. No, actually, it's the one in the trailer, not that one so far. Like I said, it doesn't go any that further. And she's sitting there in amazement, and then they go through, I guess, each other's eyes or future, if you will, to see what it would have been like had they stuck together and none of this really would have happened. None of their dreams would have came true and stuff. And then I was just thinking, I was like, please don't tell me this is the real story. Please don't do that. And then it got back to him playing the piano and her sitting there with her husband, and then it ends. And then they just leave, her and her husband, Emma Stone, they leave. And she looks back at him, and I'm thinking like, don't run to him and Kit, don't do it. Just leave. End it on that note right there. And he kind of smiles at her, and she smiles at him, and then it ends, and they walk out, and they're like, oh, and I was, like, so relieved. I was like, oh, perfect ending. That was such a great ending. I was like, yes, thank you. Don't do this love shit where it just comes out of nowhere and just, I have to run to you. Oh. I thought the ending was really good. The ending was the best part of the film for me, because it really was a sign there that, you know, we wouldn't have what we have today if we wouldn't have made the sacrifice of giving each other up. And I adored that, especially. So, like I said, music is damn good in here. I'm not going to lie. The thing about the music, though, I got to say, is I don't think it's going to be really that memorable. I'm over here humming one of them whenever, but that wasn't like a prominent song in the actual movie here. And you know, the one thing about Les Mis, even though I didn't really like the movie that much, is I thought that the music, at least in there, especially the one that Anne Hathaway did, and maybe that's just because Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, they're not, you know, experienced singers or anything like that, but I feel like the her song right there, it's just like, holy shit, that was like, yeah, you know this is some Oscar-based shit right here. She's going to be getting nominated like hell here. Where I don't think that Emma Stone or Ryan Gosling really had a moment like that where it was like that big and grand tour where it's like stage theater style or anything like that. It's really subtle and quiet in the film, really. And the music numbers that they have, I don't think really kind of... I want to say stand out because they stand out for this movie, but as far as compared to other musicals, maybe they don't stand out to being that big or anything like that. They do a nice little tap dance number. I mean, it's okay. It's nothing really special. Even I looked at it and was just like, oh, that's it, really? With the background drop, kind of like on the poster here. Not that that was cute and, you know, for the film and stuff, but I still give these two credit in the world for going out of their comfort shells of doing something like this and knocking it out of the park. Emma Stone, get your nomination. Does she need to win? No. Ryan Gosling, I wouldn't be mad if he won. There's a thing, too, about this movie. Do I think it's Best Picture? No. I think there's a lot of better films out right now, and even though I think this one is really good. But I will say I do think the director here, what's his name? He did Whiplash, like I said, Damien Chazelle. I really think he should get nominated and win Best Director because I think the more credit goes to his directing style of this film here, the way it's shot, the way it's told. I love how it's told from her story at the beginning of the film, and then we fast forward and we go back to, okay, what was it like after they first met to follow him and now and stuff like that. That was really clever right there, and I enjoyed that a lot. The style of how it was shot from both point of views and how the color patterns and tones look different too, I thought was really interesting and unique as well. So I gotta say, I enjoyed the hell out of this movie a lot. Like I said, I don't think it should sweep the Oscars, definitely. There's some other films out there that definitely is much better than this one, but it does have that love letter feel, like the artist or anything else like that. So you know that Hollywood right now is creaming their pants all over this film here. But with that said, I'm gonna give this see it. You know, at first when I first saw it, I was probably dropping a low C on it, but man, I really just admired that ending so much. I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God they didn't go the route that any other filmmaker possibly would have took it to that route. So I was like, yes, keep it that way, and let's just keep going, move forward, as Luke Cage would say, you know, move forward here. But the only problem I have with this film is I think Andrew Garfield's relationship might be ending. He's sitting back thinking like, you know, I'm definitely a shoo-in for Best Picture, right? Hey, what the fuck, Emma, girl? What are you doing with this Ryan Gosling character? And she's just like, it's just a movie, Andrew, don't worry. And he's just like, one more movie. I, too, think you're fucking. Yeah, one more. One more. But no, I give this a see it, though. I enjoyed the hell out of this film. I think people should go see it, definitely. I think you'll have a great time watching it. If anything, if you don't walk out of this theater smiling, at least, you're probably a heartless fuck. That's fine, because I enjoy you heartless fucks a lot, because I'm kind of one, so... But even I could break a smile for this film here, too. Especially when she went back to the coffee shop when she was this big-time actress down. I thought she was going to throw coffee in their face or something. Like that would have been awesome. But I guess she's not really an asshole like I am. I would have did that, personally. But, yeah, go check this film out. See it. If you're going to go see it, you know what to do. Write your comments in the section below this review. Let me know. And then get back to me so I can hear your thoughts and comments on this La La Land. La La I swear it was done much better than what I'm doing right now. You know, it was kind of like.
How are you going to be a revolutionary if you're such a traditionalist? You're holding on to the past, but jazz is about the future.
Maybe I'm not good enough.
Yes, you are.
Maybe I'm not. It's like a pipe dream.
This is the dream. It's conflict, and it's compromise, and it's very, very exciting.